Egypt. Through Moses, God delivered, took us out of darkness, out of bondage, Lord, from Egypt. But if God just takes you out of a dark place and leave you as it is, where you remain, if nothing will exchange. He not only took them out of Egypt in the book of Exodus through Moses, but now through Joshua, he took them into the promised land of Canaan. So salvation is two parts: called out of darkness into his marvelous light. This truth is very basic, very fundamental. Paul writing to the Thessalonians, he speaks about this. Peter especially tells us about how we are chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people created for God's praise. For we were once in darkness, but now we have been transported into his marvelous light. Cornerstone, we have just sung in the song, Jesus. And Peter says, we as living stones, every individual of us is a living being. If you think that you're just a Christian in name, you're just a Christian that comes to church on Sunday and fulfills some spiritual duties and responsibilities, you not necessarily are a Christian. Because we have to be a living stone. And we all together coming to Jesus, the cornerstone, we are then being built into a spiritual house. So the spiritual house of God is not necessarily a physical church. And I've been mentioning this for many times now, especially in recent months, because of the challenge we are facing. You are familiar with this phrase, church without walls. We are not constrained by the four walls. Missions without borders, doesn't matter. Physical barriers don't matter where spiritual things are concerned. So we look at ourselves and we say, where are we now? Over the last, actually it's a 30-year lease, but because of issues, we never occupied the place until almost 5 years later. We lost 5 years. Just for the negotiations part, helping them to get settled, and then during the building phase. We lose only the place for 25 years, thereabouts. We were comfortable with that place. We come and we expect everything to be just ready for us. I was telling the group that came earlier, when we came, I was quite surprised, the whole place was empty. So I thought, what happened? And Pastor Erwin from the church came and said, sorry, Pastor, yesterday we had some youth programs, they cleared the whole place on activity and then we couldn't have the time to put up the chairs again. But I thank them and others who were here earlier, and then we rearranged everything. We came in and everything is in place. The aircon was sufficiently cool for us, sound system was tested. I think just now was the mic that was a bit of a problem. Not that I did not know how to use it, you know. And we're using the equipment. Worship will continue to adjust, but who knows? In the days ahead, when we come together in unity, in faith, and for the sake of the gospel, God is going to lead us into wonderful things. Amen? So this passage I just related to you are familiar, but I just want to share with you 3 points. And these are 3 principles. Not only for the nation of Israel to abide by, not just only for us as churches that explore how we can move ahead, move on, to continue as a church, as a testimony of God. We're very comfortable in many ways, but it's not our comfort level, it's not our conditions that we have on either side that are satisfied, that are important. It's the synergy of the Spirit, the unity of faith. And we know we go there. It not only applies to the country, nation, Israel. It doesn't only just apply to the church. It applies to the individual Christian. Your life can be reflected in this passage you just read. And what are the 3 things? The 3 things, the first is, you know, change always happens. Amen? Like they like to say, the only constant now is change. There was a change in leadership. Moses, my servant, is dead. You know, just to give you a backdrop of what happened. When we finally decided and we know that we are going to come over to this place, contractually we only going to start on the first Sunday of December. So that's last week on the 7th, right? Is it the 7th? 7th of December. But we already had our scheduled mission trip. I know for sure I was not going to be here. Did you think that I say no, pastor must come, you know? I was very happy actually for the idea that Joel and Sean, also as the new leadership, you take over this place. Moses, your pastor here, is dead. Why you laugh? I'm always telling you about that. I was just talking to two brothers yesterday afternoon. I tell you, you learn to die, you will live very well. We'll do it for another sermon, okay? Remind me if I forgot to preach the sermon for an hour. Because I said, let it be. What's wrong with the dean? Sean, for the last 5 years, serving as chairman of the council, leading the church in many of our correspondences and all that. So much so that I get feedback from SDNC. Who's Sean Tan? Who's Sean Tan in the church? I said, Sean, you are a target. And talking about target, you know something? If you are truly a testimony for Jesus, you will be a target of sin. If you are a trophy Christian of Jesus, you will be a target of sin. Oh, I want my life easy going. Then suddenly I become a bit more committed. Wow, spiritual attacks come one after another. It's normal. And actually, I have noticed that there has been a lot of emphasis on this spiritual environment that we are living in. If you think your life is to be a Christian, happily, healthy, wealthy, happy all the way, you know, it's all about me, you've got it all. You've got it all. In fact, Jesus says, if anyone were to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. So let's be very prepared to hear the real messages of God, hard as they may seem, but they hold the true spiritual principles that will apply in all areas of life. And I know I'm going to take this direction in a new way for the new church, for the new year ahead. I've already let out to you all what I feel for the church team for next year. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 21. Test everything and hold fast to only that which is good and abhor all evil. Test everything because there's a lot of nonsense out there in the Christian world. Teachings that are so screwed up, just use a phrase that you know we are familiar with. Talking with Joel the other day, he was mentioning one very well-known Christian author. And he's not the only one. People who previously, you know, go very solid, clear. I don't mean conservative. I don't mean traditional. I don't mean old-fashioned. But I mean that which is good. Now they can change. Softening the message. Softening the idea of grace. Telling them, hey, hell may be no such place, you know. Why worry about it? Hey, loving God, good God, how can send people to hell? All these attempts of the enemy is all about deception. Satan is not called the father of lies, so he is a lie teller. The accuser of the brethren, he will accuse us anytime he gets the opportunity. And the roaring lion proudly waiting to devour anyone that allows him. And I would like to say, give you an inch, you take a yard, right? If Satan, you give him an inch, he wants to be your ruler. He wants to rule. That's a fun. He wants to be a ruler. The church, I think we better be awakened to the true realities that for a long run now we've taken so much for granted. But in recent times, I sense very strongly, and I don't think I'm the only one, and I think many of you sense it, the spiritual climate everywhere is different. Why? Because we're truly the last days. Things that you see politically, and I'm no master of politics or even the spirit, but you see what things are happening all around us. It's very, very, very scary. Bible says, know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Not prosperous times, happiness times. How are you prepared for it? And I've been sharing the action with the two brothers that were in my place yesterday and they went out for coffee. I said that sometimes we are challenged to live a good Christian life. Try not to sin. Then you sin, feel upset, you pick up yourself again. Then you go, maybe today I go for 2 days, then I go for 2 weeks, and then after 2 months I fall again, feel upset. Don't get upset. Confess your sins, he's faithful, he's just to forgive you, cleanse us for all unrighteousness. But what would be the motivation for us to do the right thing? Because the first is fear of God, the judgment of God. Balaam suggests you two other reasons. The fear of God seems to be a negative motivation. But the other two motivations I think are very strong. First is, that's what I describe Satan. Or not what I describe, sorry. It's what the Bible describes Satan to be who he is. He is a real, real bad fellow. So he will be very careful not to play a sin. You give him an inch, he takes over, he wants to be the ruler of your life. And he will not stop. And if you are a testimony for Jesus, if you are living a good life for Jesus, you can well be sure you'll be a target. And everybody say, I don't want to be. No, don't get me sick. So the first counter motivation is know who you are. But I don't say this in a way that you are fearful of him. I tell you in my spiritual attacks, and I think the other way my wife fed me up because I was just suddenly, then it's okay. It's okay. I said, I know what's happened. I just shouted at the devil. What I'm trying to say is, don't get intimidated by Satan. He's fearsome, but he's not all of you. He's a defeated one. That's why you must know that. And this will be the last point that I'll mention concerning what our responsibility is. The other motivation I'll tell you is really, especially for people in our midst, our parents or grandparents, I think they are very, very important. Your love for your children, your concern for your future. All the more you need to pray, all the more you need to surround your loved ones in prayers. I think something so I mentioned, our church is called the house of prayer. Besides what I feel as our theme for next year, to test all things, hold fast to only that which is good and all evil. Is that we are not just a house of prayer for the whole church as a name, but we need every home a house of prayer. Wow, Pastor, very serious now. Start to pray. Same grace also for problem in the family, right? Why don't you start praying? Why don't you have a kind of simple blessing? Don't need to have flowery words. You're not trying to impress God. I say prayer is not impressing God. You're not trying to show people, you are opening your heart in thanksgiving. And I think that's enough motivation for you to pray, isn't it? You love your child? You love your grandchild, grandchildren? Sure you do. I know that my four grandchildren, that's what my life is really all about now. But I say I shudder at the thought of what the future holds for me. But we are the lights of the world. We are the salt of the world. We are the light that brings people out of darkness. We are the instruments of God's hand that will defeat darkness. Was ultimately so change is happening. Change to the church, change to your circumstance. You may be facing one now, I don't know. Pastor doesn't mean you know everything, unless for specific, perhaps in the word of knowledge or something like that. But the second thing we know is that with change, never forget that change hurts one. As I have been with Moses, I will be with you, he says. I will be with you to the end. As no one could stand against Moses, so no one can stand against you. The book of Hebrews tells us Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So in overcoming change, you have to anchor your life on the constant, on the changeless one. You cannot be flimsy about your faith. You cannot be insincere. You cannot pick and choose. You cannot decide, say, oh, my life is very good now. God blesses me and everything. I'm a Christian. I've shared this before. There was a man that yesterday I used to speak to. and he used to at one time hold a very high office in the secular world, in the commercial world. And when I visit him, he said, Pastor, today my pay 200%. 200% I pay, man. You know, so it really, I mean, just using terms that I think. I said, why? He said, wow, oh, he's very good, you know, everything. Another time I met that person today, 40, 30 million, almost zero. Then he very sad like that. So you can see people imagine their Christian life just by the yo-yo of their feelings. The description of their circumstances, very good. Jesus is not such a mystery. When you want to claim that verse, I promise that personally it's been quoted, the number one verse among Christians, Romans 8:28. God causes all things to work together for good to them that love Him and have been called according to His purpose. There's the condition that they love Him, they are called according to His purpose, and they are doing His will. And in such a one, He causes all things. All things without exception, whether good or bad. But what is good and what is bad? To you, to me, it may be bad. But maybe sometime later, as we see the will of God unfold, oh, that was what He meant to be. When Joseph was sold by his brothers, ended up in prison, and when later he became the prime minister, modern term, of Israel, he told his brothers that came to him and were afraid that Moses was, Joseph was going to take revenge. He said, what you intended for good evil, God has to do. It can only happen with a changeless one. It can only happen when the compass of your life is an unshaking compass. You know, I had a lost direction. Take out compass. Take your compass, swing there, swing there, swing there, swing there. You don't know where to go already. You have a correct spiritual compass. Correct anchor. As I have been with Moses, so I will be with you. No man can stand against you, and I will be with you all the time. What you need in any problem is not solutions to your problem. Whether you think it is financial and you need the money, or it's some other issues and you need whatever that is supposed to be a remedy. What you need is the person of Jesus, the intimacy of Him, the knowledge of Him, and that you are walking faithfully before Him. So first thought, change is inevitable. There will always be change. But then when you are changeless, you are not afraid. But why are you not afraid? Because of the charge. Be bold and courageous. That's why that phrase was mentioned 3 times. Just these few words. Have I not commanded you? He says again in the last one, in verse 9. Twice you already just said, be bold and courageous. 9 verses, have I not commanded you? You just commanded me 2-3 verses earlier. You know what? It speaks to me. I'm very forgetful. God can speak to you right now. Let's be honest. The next moment, you walk out of the sanctuary. You go on the sermon of God. But God wants to say, have I not commanded you? Be bold and be very courageous. But He didn't just give a charge to be bold and courageous. He gives us how we can be bold and courageous, and how? The word of God. Let not this word depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Then Job comes along. Meditate day and night. What else? Cannot be right. But you know what? It's keeping the word of God and the presence of God always in you. Why do we say that the presence of God is with me all the time? Because while I'm walking towards a bus stop, traveling on the MRT, whatever, and I may be busy thinking of certain things, suddenly the Spirit of God just quiet in the heart, quiet in the spirit, brings us to a state of restfulness. It just reminds us something, maybe a prayer that, for somebody that God. Why do you say, pray without ceasing? Rejoice always. pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for it is the will of God. How can pray without ceasing? We are not asking, the Bible is asking to 24-7. 24-7, someone smiles. But that there is that constant sensitivity and that immediacy of response to God. So why do you always emphasize the word of God? Not just for the theological knowledge, not just for the doctrinal understanding, but for the word of God to bring real faith. Faith comes from the word of God. You know that the only thing that will never pass away in the words of Jesus, heaven and earth will pass away. Everything will pass away, but my word will never pass away. You can quote verses like this, you can be remembering verses like this, but like James says, don't be merely hearers and not doers. A lot of times I can tell you seriously, when I speak with people, I went out to the church kids, and I have a lot of people, friends that I know, I'm in school from our secondary school days, and they know I'm a pastor, so pastor always can now one after one. They ask, but I say, you don't have the answer, but I'll just tell you what I believe is up to you. Okay. So that's for the unbelievers. But for believers, fellow believing brothers and sisters, you know what I tell them? I say, you're not lacking in knowledge. I know you very well. In fact, you're a very spiritual person. Even you may be have been very instrumental in the way my Christian life came about and all. But what I'm saying is oftentimes when you have all knowledge but no wisdom to apply. And not just wisdom, but will to apply to the world. That's why God did not just tell Joshua many things, but be very careful to do all that is written. And don't go to the left, don't go to the right, don't suka suka, deviate away from the top of the mountain, and do this. And sometimes our Christian lives, we even blame Satan for everything. But if you are honest, God says, look at yourself, look at myself. We are our own problem makers. So let me conclude by just reminding us of how this passage of a change in the life of the nation of Israel, from the leadership of Moses to that of Joshua, how it takes the nation into the promised land. When you go to chapters 5 and 6, later, that's the next main section. The commission, chapter 1, chapters 5 and 6, the consecration. The consecration. And I have half a thought to preach that next week. I haven't decided. That's why now I tell Justin, don't worry about scripture reading this week. What we have done last time is a big book series. We can systematically. We've done it many years. But I felt impressed that I will take more in the Brother Thomas convictional, inspirational messages. Not that the past messages were not. I trust God to assist you so he knows what to do with it. But then to be more sensitive. 4 more weeks and with Christmas in between. At the end of the year, I think we are really moving into a very, very exciting time of change. But with change, the response rate is to rely on the changeless. Relying on the changeless is not just emotional, it's not just feeling, it's anchoring yourself in the Word of God. And anchoring yourself in the Word of God. Not just knowledge, reading, meditating, but be very careful to do all that is written in the book. And return to the land, not to the right. Christians love, and Singaporeans love, and everybody loves prosperity, right? Why prosperity was so powerful? Because it appeals to people, their fleshly desires and senses. And I can be Christian, I can be rich, I can enjoy life, I can do all kinds of things. I shared during the mission trip in one of the sessions, when people teach you that your sins, past, present, future, are forgiven. It's a license to do anything I want. Forgiven already, why? For such thing, and yet it's getting a fool. You blame the false teachers. Yeah, blame the false teachers. But I tell what the Bible says, in the last days, 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says, there will be people with itchy ears, and they heed for themselves teachers. Oh, speak such things. So you cannot really just blame the false teachers, you know. The false teachers had a platform because the people provided. The false teachers have a following because these people want to hear what they want to hear. What the difference is false teachers with people of different other faiths or philosophies? Not much actually, except for us, we stand by the claims of Jesus and the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to God except for the church. As I share this message and on this, I think quite appropriate time, not knowing that Father Brian was going to text me yesterday to say they are busy. I wasn't expecting you to visit actually, but at least not before you contacted me. And then for us, as we continue to settle in, only the third week, I honestly think this place is not big enough. I also get 180 people. But I can't count how I think maybe 2 persons or 1 chair. And just to people you all want to laugh. A church, just as with Joshua, the same can be true for our church. Just as with Joshua in his life personally, the same can be your life. When your anchor is always this unchangeless God, Jesus the same yesterday, today. But not just your anchor, but your adherence to the Word of God. As your time. The Word of God is a lamp to my feet, and I say immediately where I am, and a light to my life. You read that in Psalm 109, verse 1. I learned it, but very long it is for you. Lamp to my feet, it lights up immediately where I am. And it is full of light to my path. I see. Let's rise together, shall we? Let's stand, and I just want to invite the worship team to take their place. Let Shahira lead us in a song. Help us to respond. And I don't mean an emotional response. I don't mean a response of any kind of force, raise expectations. But a response was, we are preaching the word. And it is called to the government, it's not a pastor, because of my peace. But as we take this song,
the response,
huh? So the word is a very simple key. And let's assure this. Jesus is mine. So whether we go through things as a church, individual families or personally in our lives. Let's really get this as a foundation for the divine glory of Jesus in our lives. Let's worship Him this
song. Yes, and assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine.
Whispers.
This is my story.